And we are live today. We are going to be talking about dating. And I know I always focus on marriage and how life affects marriage and all these different aspects of marriage. But today we're talking about dating. I think all of you married people will learn a lot anyway, so you can stay tuned. But make sure that you share this with your friends who are dating and single or want to get married eventually. Because we are going to be learning a ton and discussing a bunch of really fun topics. So today I have Sasha with me, and she is a good friend who is a dating coach, and she's going to introduce herself. So Sasha, take it over.
Hi, Bahrain. Thank you so much for having me on your live. I wanted to, so my background basically is that I got divorced after an 11-year marriage. I got married very young. I was 20 years old, got married to the first guy I ever dated. Was pretty naive, and there's a lot of things I wish I had known then that now I teach my clients so that they can get into the right relationships that are happy, that are healthy, that are long-lasting. And I kind of want, I feel like from your pain comes your purpose. So I kind of feel that everything I've been through is for me to be able to help other people.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that. Okay, so a lot of singles are following me because the messages that I give over about marriage resonate with them. And even though I'm talking to married people, usually married women, a lot of the things that I'm saying have to do with life in general and are all really important. So first of all, we have to say hi to my mother because she is here. She just commented. So that's exciting. If you have any questions, comments, make sure. Yeah. Hi, Ima. So what are, I really want to get practical. What are the most practical things that you can tell our listeners? And then we get into like more of the discussion and we'll unpack those things.
Okay, so the first thing I would say is know yourself. Really know what you want, what you need in life in order to feel fulfilled. Because everybody has dreams. And if you don't have your dreams met in your life, you will feel unfulfilled. So for one person, that might be having a big family. And that was something that would be important to discuss beforehand. Because if you just assume the other person also wants a big family and then you get married and you find out they only want one or two kids, you're going to feel very unfulfilled if you don't have that in your life. One person might have a dream of becoming a Revidson. And she's marrying somebody who's a businessman, right? And if she's giving up on that dream, that might feel very unfulfilling for her. So everyone has their dreams, and it's important to acknowledge that to yourself and honor that and
I
bring it
love
up. Bring it up when you're dating, because assuming things is not going to help you.
Yes. Rule number one, do not assume anything. It's so important. It's such an important point that I think is not addressed enough. Do not assume, really. Just communicate. Say what you want because there is, there's just this thing that like, oh, of course she's going to cover her hair. And then you get married and she only covers half. And you're like, okay, but like, did you talk about it? No, I just assumed. I mean, every religious person I know covers their hair. Like, okay, but every religious person she knows half covers. So, like, why are you assuming? Discuss it. It's a huge
I'll give an
thing.
example. So when I was dating my ex, he asked me, so what kind of Shabbos table do you want to have? And I said, just like my parents, a lot of guests, good food, singing, Dvar Torahs, good times. And I didn't even ask him, what do you want your Shabbos table to be like? Because I assumed, of course, he's going to want the same thing I want. Everyone wants that. That's like the best. I didn't ask him. And you know what? He turned out to be kind of antisocial, didn't like having a lot of guests, didn't like going out for meals. And it was really hard for me as a social person who wanted to host. And I realized like those are the kind of things that like I just assumed and didn't ask a lot of questions about when I was dating.
And then another thing I really like that you said is get to know yourself. And I want to put a real big emphasis on that, because when it comes to dating, my advice is always just remember that a half plus a half does not make a whole. And that was the advice that I got when I was dating, and I think it was really helpful. You can't come as a broken person hoping that somebody else will fix you and just, you know, magically make your life better. You know, I come from a broken home and all my life is messed up and I can't figure myself out and I'm going to get married and everything will magically disappear and my life will magically all fall into place and I won't be depressed anymore and, you know, everything will be great. And then you get married and you really still have all of that baggage with you and you're like, but I wasn't supposed to be this way, you know? So it really is important to heal and love yourself before starting the process or even through the process, which I also, that's my second advice, you know, going into it, is the dating process is the healing process. I feel like it is part of what prepares you for having a successful marriage, a happy, lasting, you know, healthy communication type of marriage. So talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what you're talking about is this idea of being rescued. People want to be rescued from their sad lives. Right. And I've noticed it myself in my own thoughts. You know, it's like, when I get married, then I'll start budgeting because I'll have a husband to help me with that. Or like, when I get married, then, you know, I'll finally organize my life. Like we think that having that partner is going to help us get our lives together. And really, like, especially if you believe in the law of attraction, it's like attracts like, right? So if you want somebody who's healthy, who has their life together, who's, you know, organized, is fit, whatever it is that you're looking for, be that person, you know, be that person and attract that person into your life.
So true.
Yeah.
When I was dating, another really very strong piece of advice that helped me and sort of guided me was think of it the other way. Instead of asking, what do you want? Think of your ideal husband, you know, the guy, what does he want? And then become that person. And now that I'm a lot more into business and marriage and all of that stuff, it just, you know, becoming the person that you want to become, like, you know, that process, that's the point of life. It's less about the end result. Like you were saying this also before when we were talking. So you want to elaborate on that? Because that's something that I really feel
strongly. So one thing is that people get so focused on the goal. Like when they're single, they're like, I'm just looking for that one. I'm just looking for the one. I'm looking for my happily ever after. And I'm more curious about not so much the end product, but the process. Who are you becoming along the way? Who are you becoming in that, on that journey of dating? What are you discovering about yourself? What are you discovering about what you need and what you want, your emotions? There's so much richness there to uncover as you date. You learn what you tolerate, what you don't tolerate. You learn how to say no. You learn how to have boundaries. You learn how to process heartbreak and the big emotions, right? So there's so many things about yourself. And I just find that such a delicious human experience to go through. And it's almost like an honor, you know, to have that ability to go through the dating process that I almost didn't have that the first time around since I got married to the first guy I dated. I didn't have the whole journey of really discovering myself. And that's something that I've had to do later, you know? So right. I would just say to really,
Let's talk about that journey, because I'm getting a lot of messages from, you know, before we went live, I sent a message to all of my followers, and there were responses back, you know, the frustration, the emotional toll of going out and going out and going out. So yes, it's a journey, but it's a hard journey. It's something that some people find really exhausting and, you know, shochik. I don't know how to say that. Like it tears you down, sort of like it really.
Is that what you mean?
I don't know. I can't think of the word, but you know, if somebody has the word, comment it below, because it's a great word. It's just like, you know, it you don't feel like brand new and shiny anymore. Like at the end of it, it's just like very, so yes. What do you say about that? Because I can totally relate.
Yeah. Okay. So there's so much there to unpack. I would say that, you know, you're going to experience the full range of human emotion. You're going to experience the joy. You're going to experience the excitement. You're going to experience the infatuation. And you're also going to experience the heartbreak and feeling crushed and feeling rejected. And that's all so delicious, right? We get to experience all of it. And like, how amazing is it that we get to experience the full range of human emotion? I would say, if you can approach it with a sense of like excitement and curiosity, like, wow, look at this. I'm feeling disappointed right now. How interesting is that? Or I'm feeling heartbroken right now. Like, I'm just going to wrap myself up in a blanket of compassion and take care of myself and eat a tub of ice cream and cry my heart out to my best friend and maybe watch Netflix for a few days. Whatever it is, I'm going to do.
Notice she didn't say a few weeks. Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever it takes for myself right now. Like, isn't that kind of special to have that time to really be in touch with my emotions and just like feel the feelings, you know? And I would just say, just have a lot of compassion for yourself, for what you're going through. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to date for a long time. If you're an older single, just have compassion for yourself. Of course I'm feeling disappointed. Of course I'm feeling frustrated. It's normal. It's natural. I don't have to be like, oh, I'm single and strong and independent and I can do anything and I can crush the world.
Yeah, that's going to break you in like 2 minutes.
No. I don't consider myself single and strong. I know some people consider me strong, but when I think of myself...
I think that's part of resilience, is not that you don't fall. It's that you fall and get up and fall and get up. And, you know, I had a long dating process before I found my husband. And I think it really made me who I am and made our marriage stronger because I went through a real process. And of course, my husband went through a process before he met me. So there was something very mature when we finally found each other, like, oh, good, you're the one, great. You know, like, now we can finally get moving forward. So it was very head, because we were both exhausted from the process and very like focused. So the heart came a little bit slow motion, but it's interesting that you say that. I love that you say about the self-compassion, because this is something that you think she's talking about singles. Let's be real here. All of us need this, because you will have that roller coaster of emotions does not end once you get married. It just continues throughout life. And if you're able to handle that by falling easy, like, you know, how you fall is a skill. Go with the fall. Don't fight the fall. Allow your body to just sort of like roll with it and end up where it needs to end up and then get up will be a lot healthier, you know, like in Krav Maga. This is what we were learning, how to fall correctly. This is so amazing. It's such a strong concept, because then you can really pick yourself up from a resilient place, from a healthy place of just like, okay, I'm over it. And I was listening to a podcast where this guy said he takes 14 days off his calendar when he falls into one of these, like, I don't know what to do with my emotions, like these like explosions of emotions. He'll just give himself 14 days, and every single day he'll, you know, do whatever makes him feel like he's taking care of his emotions. And he says always by towards like day 10, 11, 12, he's starting to feel better. And by 14, he's back to like being normal and like just flow with it. But if you know ahead of time, it's going to take you this much time to get through it. And every person should know themselves that, you know, it's fine if you get up faster. It's fine if it takes longer. But if you know yourself, and you know that every time there is a change or every time there's something really big that hits you, you're going to have to go through the process. You're not going to be as hard on yourself and like, come on, we should be up already. Like, no, it's fine. It's okay. It's part of the process. Almost like expecting that roller coaster to like go up slowly and go down, you know, like, you know, it's coming.
Right. Yeah. You can't escape being human. You can't escape the human experience. You're always going to have the ups and downs, and it's going to come in waves, like you said. And don't think you have to get over it by a certain time.
You're welcome.
So for example, you know, if you're dating someone and they end it with you, like, don't think like, oh, I should be over them by now. It's been 2 weeks, you know. You might miss them 6 months later. You might still be thinking about them a year later. You get to feel your feelings as long as you need to. And even if you processed it and you went through it and you journaled and you think you thought it all out, like, it's going to pop back up there, you know, like, we can't escape being human.
And by the way, when that happens, then I call it the spiral, because sometimes you feel like you're on square one. You're like, I already did this. I already went through this whole thing. And now I'm going through it again. It's like, as if I didn't work all that hard work. Like, what was the point? Right. And somebody once came to me and asked me this question. I said, you know, did you ever play Mario, where it's like every single level feels the same when you're starting? It's always at the same, you know, with the same whatever background. And you know, it's just the beginning, but like, you're already in level 4. You're already in level 7. So, you know, you've gone through so much. At this point, you're a lot higher. You're just feeling like it's square one because it's the next level. But don't put yourself down because it's popping back up. Just understand and give yourself that ability to, you know, just be like, okay, one level up. We're up leveling this thing. We're learning something new. Which brings me to the unpacking. When people talk about dating, I feel like a lot of times we talk about preparation for the date itself, and then if it doesn't go anywhere, that's it, it's over, next. And we don't actually take the time to unpack the lessons from that date.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, like, what did I learn from this? You know, what do I know now more about myself, what I want, what I don't want, what I am willing to tolerate, what I'm not willing to tolerate? You know, it's part of the journey. It's part of the process. So yeah, it's definitely part of the learning. And each date is just a part of your journey, and you want to honor that.
Right. And if you can sit down and unpack all the lessons from this experience, you know, if somebody dumps you and you're in that, like, oh, I can't believe I have to start all over again now, sit down and really just try to think of all the things you learned about them, about what you like, about what you don't like, about what bugs you, about the things that you wish you had or didn't have, or which have said, you know, should have said or shouldn't have said, and the things I did right. Did you see, I finally, you know, did this and that correctly. I feel like I really stood up for myself with this girl, or I had healthy boundaries, whatever it is. Just, you know, validate the things that you see that were good. And also just really learn what is it that I learned about myself.
Right. So one of the important things is that when someone does end it with you, what are you making that mean? Right. Mm-hmm. What are you making that mean about yourself? Are you making it mean that you're inadequate? You're not worthy. You're not lovable. You're not young enough, or you're too fat, or whatever it is. Everyone has their insecurities. And what are you making it mean? Or you can just make it mean like, I wasn't for him, and I'm so glad that he had that clarity so that it didn't get dragged out for too long. Thank you, right. Hashem.
This is a huge pick, like, such a huge point. I love that you meant that you said that.
Yeah, because, thank you, Hashem, for ending it sooner rather than later, you know?
Yes. So many times somebody will do something that's the right thing for them, and we'll take it and like own it, you know? It has to do with me. It has to do with this and that. And of course, we put it on the thing that's most painful about ourselves, because why not? Nobody else can tell us otherwise. And we just, like, it sticks, like, and you can't get it off. So how do you deal with that?
Okay, there's a few things. One is, you're not responsible for other people's feelings, right? So you don't have to come home and say like, oh no, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I should, if only I had done this differently, he would not have ended it with me, right? Like, sometimes we come home and we beat ourselves up. Like, I shouldn't have brought up this topic. It was too soon, or I shouldn't have done that. No, have your own back. You said exactly the right thing at exactly the right time, and it wasn't meant to be. And one of the things, a few things that helped me first is thinking, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. Like if it's your person, nothing you can say is going to mess it up. Nothing you can do is going to mess it up. Hashem is not going to let that happen, right? If it's your person, Hashem will make sure you guys get together. So don't come home and start analyzing like, I ruined it, you know? That's one thing that has helped me. The next thing that helped me is thinking that what's meant for you will not pass you by. What's meant for you will not pass you by. So not to think that like, oh, I missed the boat. Sometimes someone gets engaged and you're like, oh, but I had a crush on that guy. And maybe I should have reached out to him and she got him first. No, right. He wasn't your person. No one else can marry your Bashert. He wasn't your person. Don't think that like you missed out because you weren't assertive enough or whatever it is. Like trust the process. It's going to happen for you. Your person's out there. You will find him or her at the right time.
And since my mother is listening, I'm going to give you guys my mother's best advice. All you need is one, you know, like when I used to say like, but there isn't that many guys out there who blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what's the difference? Like all you need is the one guy. So there's one guy out there that's blah, blah, blah. And he's waiting for you, you know,
that's absolutely. That's what I say to singles, especially when you're divorced and like you feel like the pickings are slim or whatever it is. And especially when you're an older single or whatever you're going through, like it doesn't matter how many people are out there. Exactly. You just need that. You're one.
Yeah. Fine. You're just going to marry one person anyway. So might as well. And actually when there's less picking, it sometimes makes it easier because you can be more focused on what's really important to you.
Yeah. So what I've heard different things, actually. I've heard in some ways it's harder now as we're older. And in some ways it's harder because there's actually more choices now because of the internet. Yeah. You see tons of choices and it's always like next, 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 right? So people get worried. No one's going to commit because they're always looking for the next best thing because it's not like in the olden days when I was first dating in the olden days, when you had to go through Shadchanim and it wasn't all available to you on just like a app. So
not even the app. Think about the power of community now. There are groups of, you know, people who are making shidduchim right and left on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on, you know, just communication has grown so much that you don't actually need to go and, yeah, like Nicole says, for better or for worse, you know, it's both ways, definitely.
Right. So I would say market yourself just like as if you were a business person, an entrepreneur. When you market yourself, you find a niche, right? You are for the few, not for the many. And right. If you don't have a niche, you're probably not going to do well in business. And it's the same thing with dating. Like you want to market yourself for the few, not for the many. So it doesn't matter how many people are out there. Your profile is going to reflect who you are at your core, at your essence, and what you're really looking for specifically, you know. So you're narrowing it down as much as possible. And it doesn't matter if there's so many choices out there, like you want to attract the people that are going to resonate with you.
Yeah. And then another thing that comes up a lot is the, you know, the superficial things that people ask, like you know, what are you looking for? Oh, well, the age, the stage, this, that. And like, we're talking about things that really, at the end of the day, really don't matter. And then we're not really talking about the essence or the things like you were saying that really make or break. So what are the things that you really think are maybe questions people can ask themselves in order to reach those really deep, I guess like essential things that really matter?
Yeah. So what questions to ask yourself in terms of finding your essence-based preferences?
Yeah.
So I would say, ask yourself, you know, what are my dreams? What do I need in life in order to feel fulfilled? What kind of home do I want to have? And if you're not sure, think about a home that you want to model your home after, you know, a marriage you want to model your marriage after. Maybe they have an open home. Maybe they have a lot of laughter in their marriage. Maybe, you know, they have a sense of mission and purpose together. What is it that you really want? And if you don't get it, you're not going to feel fulfilled. So those are the kind of things that you want to think about, ask yourself, and maybe hint a little bit on your profile of that's what you're looking for. Like when I did the work and went through my own dating program, I found out that it was really important to me to be married to somebody who has a sense of contribution. Like I wanted someone who really wants to make a difference in the world. And one question that I ask people when I'm dating is, if you had all the money in the world and you didn't have to work anymore, what would you do with your time? And I just find that so helpful because it gets to the core of who a person really is. And I've had people say, well, I guess I would just want to work with my hands or something. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't seem grand enough for me, you know?
Which by the way, is an amazing thing for an artist like me, if somebody says that, it's like, yes.
Right. So
it shows you how every person is looking for something different and there's no right or wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but when I heard someone say, I want to just help people, you know, that for me was something that I was looking for, you know? So it's obviously tailored to everyone. Everyone has their thing that like, you know, they need in life, they need to feel fulfilled. You know, what happens, you know, one day when we reach 120, how will we feel that our life was meaningful and fulfilling and that we fulfilled our purpose in the world, right? So you want to think about what is your purpose? What are you here for? And then you want to find someone else who's aligned with that or supports you on your mission.
Right. I love that. We have a question or a comment, so I'm not sure which is which, but what is an important character trait your future spouse has to have in common with you? What do you think?
I think it's individual. I think that's something to think about for yourself. What's very important for you? You know, is it mutual respect? Is it commitment? Is it the ability to negotiate your differences peacefully? Is it the ability to support each other's goals? Whatever it is that's important to you, you're going to make your list, right? Everyone has their list of their non-negotiables that they need to have, the qualities that they need to have in their relationship in order to be fulfilled. So that's something I actually go through with my private clients, is making your list of your requirements, your needs, and your wants.
Cool. That's a good point. I love the, you know, the whole aspect of making it really custom made and like tailor made to you. That's the reason why you would go to a coach, is really to have someone to bounce off this process with, so that you're not alone in this, you know, the journey, which, yes, I was just telling my friends today that I read my journal, and in the journal it said that, you know, I feel like I'm on the wrong track because this is so painful. And is that, like, it was a while ago. I was reading an old entry from like maybe 3-4 months ago. And it says, how can I be on the right track if I'm really on the wrong track? Or, you know, how do I know if I'm on the right track or the wrong track? Because it feels like I'm in this like muddy, you know, rusty piece of the track. And then I'm thinking, wait, but like, if I really envision it, it's a track. It's like all one. So I am, you know, on track, but I just happen to hit this part of the track that is muddy and rusty. Like, I'll get through it and I'll continue on to the right track. Like, I haven't moved to a different track. I'm like still on track. It's just that sometimes there are these processes that you have to go through. So, you know, even with regular life, and of course, you know, dating is just one aspect of life that it's just so, you know, it's so beautiful to see how everything works together and all the lessons are really all intertwined. But I think that life is all about building muscle. Like we were talking about that, you know, the muscle of falling and being able to get up and being able to take failure without making it mean anything bigger than just, okay, it's, you know, the next step. I'm learning something, I'm getting through whatever it is. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just so much to uncover there about yourself along the way.
Look at this beautiful comment we got from my brother.
Oh, nice.
My family is so supportive. And Nicole has become part of the family because she's so supportive.
Awesome.
Yeah. So do you guys have any questions for Sasha and anything else that we didn't speak about that you want to address before we go? And also, do you want to tell us about your website and how we can get in touch with you, Sasha?
Sure. Yeah. So my website is happilyevenafter.co. And if you want to book a session with me, just do /book. We can have a discovery session, talk about your wants and your needs and your desires and how to get what you want.
Yes. And by the way, we did have a question that came up about, you know, happily ever after and the whole Disney concept of, you know, what are we really trying to, what's the result really, you know, of all this whole dating thing and we're going through the process and eventually we're going to find the one. How, you know, how do we deal with the fact that we grew up on Disney and all that great, like, oh, and then they walked into the sunset. How do you explain that?
So first of all, just to clarify any misconception, my business is not happily ever after. It's happily even after. happilyevenafter.co is my website. So as far as Disney, obviously no one is promising Disney. No one is saying that we're going to find our Prince Charming and ride off into the sunset and woodland the animals will sing to us, right? We are just saying that if you make conscious dating choices and know what you're looking for and be very clear and go into dating with an open mind and really test and screen and sort people, then you have a better chance of finding the person who will compliment you, the person who will be able to communicate with you. And when there are conflicts that will arise, you'll be able to have a way of dealing with that. So I'm not saying you're going to have peaches and roses and cream and sparkles and sunshine your whole life, right? Rebison Vatchen can tell you about all the marriage issues that come up later, right? All we're saying is that you do your hishtadlus, you do the best you can to find your best match that you can resolve things with, right? There's going to be issues. It's just how do you resolve that, right? You want somebody who respects your goals and your dreams and doesn't shove it under the rug. If you have unresolved conflict, that can lead to the end of a marriage. So you want to have someone, you want to be able to find the person that you feel.
Your sound is going off. Try to repeat that. Do that again.
Wrong side. Is it okay?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You said you want to find the person that.
You want to find the person that respects your dreams. And you can communicate with and who will acknowledge your dreams. Not someone that you would have to hide your dreams from, someone who doesn't respect them, right? So that's kind of what you're looking for when you're dating is, will I feel fulfilled with this person, right? Will I be able to fulfill my dreams with this person? If it's a dream of having a big family, if it's a dream of traveling the world, if it's a dream of being on shlichus or whatever your dream might be in your life, you want to know that that person will be by your side. And sometimes it means putting your dream on hold to support his dream. Sometimes it means both of you are putting your dreams on hold, but it's acknowledging that you do both have dreams and you're hoping one day to both achieve them. So I'm saying that, yeah, no one's saying you're going to have happily ever after and there will be no conflict, but it's how do you resolve the conflict when you have it?
Yes. And I was going to add to that, that I think that when you go through the dating process in a way that you are connecting to yourself and really finding ways of being resilient through the process, you will have a much more resilient marriage because you won't freak out the first time something goes a little bit, you know, not the way you wanted, or this is not supposed to be this way. You should be, you know, the perfect Prince Charming. It's more like, okay, you know, this is life and I've grown so much through the process of just, you know, finding myself and finding you, that now I can handle whatever comes up. It makes you more resilient as a couple when you as a person can be a lot more, you know, just whole. And that wholeness comes from unpacking and learning and being able to ask the questions like, what am I making that mean? And how can I, you know, turn around this thought that isn't serving me? Things like that are really skills that make you very resilient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not having the sense that your thoughts are true, right? Because we have these expectations and we think that because we have thoughts, therefore they're true, right? Like, my husband was supposed to be like this. This was my thought, and now he's not, and therefore there's something wrong with him, right? Because we had the thought, therefore we think we're right. So it's so really questioning that and realizing, nope, that's just a thought I'm having in my brain. He still gets to be him, right? And now I'm going to choose how I'm going to handle that or deal with that, right? Rather than thinking that like he's wrong because I thought that, right? So I think that that's just a really important thing. I think that when you're young and maybe a little bit more naive, like I was in my first marriage, there's a real sense of like, you know, your husband is there to fulfill all your needs. And if he's not doing X, Y, Z, he's just, you know, there's something wrong with him, right? As opposed to thinking like, okay, I'm having all these thoughts about him, right? How do I want to deal with those thoughts? Do I want to change my thoughts? Maybe I don't want to change my thoughts. Maybe I want to hold on to those thoughts. Maybe those thoughts are important to me, but at least acknowledge it's all going on in my head. It does not mean it's objective reality.
Right. Yes. Yes. This is so important. You know, since my mother's here, I'll also give some credit to my father. One of the things that he taught me was you know, before you find the guy, you really look with a magnifying glass and you're looking for every little detail and making sure that everything's okay, because there is no reason why you need to go in thinking like you can't have it all. You know, just like know what you're getting, ask all the questions, be really, you know, communicate everything that you need. Don't assume. And then once you get married, that's it. Like, take off your glasses and see everything blurry and it's just all peachy. Like, you know, just like be okay with reality, you know, like, yeah. This is what it is. And now we're going to, you know, make sure that we work this out. And I think it's really important to know the difference. You don't have, you know how they say like, okay, it is what it is. You know, Hashem is, you know, this is perfect for you. Just marry him. Like, no, if you're not married yet, take your time and really think it through. Talk, you know, I had to go to this amazing Rebbetzin in Borough Park, whose whole life is to help Kalas figure out if this is the right choice for them. And like, I went there with, you know, two very important issues that I wasn't sure about. And then she really calmed me down and, you know, addressed each one. And it turned out that like, they weren't such a big deal, but it was so good that I had somebody to go to and really just like melt those worries away. Because if not, then I would go into a marriage thinking like, oh, I had to just like, you know, settle. It is what it is. Like, settle, that's the word.
I think that's, so it's really such an important thing that you brought up. Like, how do you know the difference between compromising and settling, right? And what you said is so beautiful, that you beforehand is when you don't compromise, right? Beforehand is when you say like, these are my core essential non-negotiables and I will find that guy, right? I will find the person who meets those needs and I'm not going to settle for less than that. And after marriage is when you know, come home and you see the whole package and maybe there's some things in there that you weren't expecting, and that's when you deal with that. But beforehand is when you, like you said, you're really careful and not settling. So how do you know if you're settling versus being too picky?
Right. Good.
So one of the things I say is, are you trying to talk yourself into it? Do you feel unexcited? You know, do you feel kind of like, I should want to be with him because he checks off all the boxes.
But he's so good on paper.
And maybe I won't find anyone else like him. And I'm already getting older and there's not so many good guys out there. And what if I'm alone for the rest of my life? And so why are you making the decision? Are you making it out of fear?
Right.
You're making it out of scarcity. Are you making it out of your own lack of self-esteem?
Or lack of bitachon.
Lack of bitachon. Or are you making out your choice out of like real excitement for the future with this person? Like you could really envision it and you could really see it and you can really already kind of picture your home together, you know? So it's just a sense of what does it mean to settle versus what does it mean to like really just know yourself and know what's important to you.
Yes. And you just hit something really important. What's important to you? Because I think what gets in the way that is the most detrimental thing is what's important to everyone else becomes important to you. And then you're like, but you know, this is so important to my mother that he be this, that, and the other. Like, who cares? Your mother's not marrying him. Yes, I don't believe in you don't marry the family. You do. The families have to, you know, you have to live with them forever and like they become your family. So do take family into consideration. But it really does not matter. If you're happy, then nobody else's, you know, things about how this should be that or he should be this way has anything to do with your decision. You said it, like what's important to you. And I really wanted to emphasize that because that is one of the places where we really fall is what other people expect of me. And by the way, I had to do this with my coach last week where I was like, I feel like I'm expected to be a superwoman and a mom and make food and run the house, da, da, da. And I feel guilty that my husband helps me too much. And like, he's doing all these things. He's so helpful. He's so nice. Like, yes, I'm grateful. I love my husband. He's amazing. But on the other hand, I feel so bad about myself. Like there's this shame about being not like everyone else or not like fitting that beautiful little like superwoman box. So don't let that creep in. Don't let other people's thoughts really get to you because that's really important. And I'm talking to all of you, not just the dating single.
Wow. Yeah. That's such an interesting part where you brought up the shame and everything. Like notice those thoughts that you're having about yourself and like what you're making it mean that your husband's helping you. Like some people would like kill to have their husband help them. And you're like, no, but it means I'm not superwoman, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, like just talking about it today makes me feel so good because I felt really embarrassed about like, what are people going to know? Like my husband does all the laundry, I help with folding and putting away. And I sometimes put in a load, but like he also makes all the food and he also cleans up. It's like, he is the super human. And like, here I am, you know, sort of like doing all these other great things and we complement each other. So when we sit face to face and we're like, this is a life that's working for us. I'm happy with this, package deal. He's happy with it. We're all really like, you know, thriving. We're both doing our purpose. This is like the best life in the world. But then you bring other people and they're like the way they look at you or the way they judge you or the things they say. And you're like, ew, like, I don't know, you know, and it really gets to you. It gets to me. So I had to go through a whole coaching session just to like shake it off and be like, people in the world, you should all know I don't do laundry, you know, and that's okay. And if you can say that without shame, I don't care if he's Sephardi or Ashkenaz. I don't care if he has whatever color eyes, like those things don't matter to me. You're going to feel so good. Just like shed it off. If something is not important to you, just let it go. Don't let it weigh on you. Sorry, I like took over.
No, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And it's so interesting also that, you know, people take on in their thoughts what other people are thinking. You don't know what other people are thinking. You're making that up, that story.
Yay.
You're making up that story. There's everyone, Robinson. Like, you're judging yourself based on what you think other people are thinking.
Right, exactly. Like,
you don't know what other people are thinking besides the fact that you probably shouldn't care, but.
Right. And like, it's their thoughts and they own their thoughts. And so I do know some people really do. They tell me, you don't know, you don't understand, your husband helps you, blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, that's fine. You have your opinion of how things should be and whatever. I have my opinion of like how my life should be. And if I'm happy in my life and things are working for me, then that's where we want to get to. So like in a dating situation where a single person is looking to get married, all you should care about is you and your life And finding the right person that's going to fit into that vision and like move forward. You don't care about everyone else because they're not living your life. They're not going to be behind closed doors with you when things happen, when pregnancies are, you know, difficult, and when things, you know, when money isn't around and suddenly things are hard. What do you do then? You know, because these things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. And that's part of the resilience that I want so badly to instill in everybody is like, what can we do to help you really focus on you and bring that strength of, you know, standing up for the things that really matter?
I just want to add to that, though, like, even though I totally agree with you that you need to listen to your inner voice, that's the most important thing. I always tell my clients, there's three things you want to listen to. What does my head say? What does my heart say? And what does my gut say? Right? Those are three really important questions to ask yourself when you're dating somebody. Because you want all those.
Write those down. That is so good. I love it.
But on top of that, I think sometimes it is important to get the opinions of people who love you. I'm just going to put that out there. I know it's important to trust your inner voice and your gut. Very, very important. But also, there's people who love you who are more objective than you are. And sometimes they can see things you can't see. So if your family or your friends, people that you trust and love you, are saying something like, I think there might be some red flags here. Are you sure about this? Are you sure about that? You might want to pay attention. You don't have to. Obviously, it's your life. But they might see things that you are not seeing because you're too in it. You know, like they might see like, oh, this guy seems a little controlling, or he doesn't have a sense of humor, or he's not that religious for you. You know, whatever it is, they might see something and you're like, but he's so sweet. And he, like, and that's fine. And you might decide that's good enough for you. Right. But sometimes just pay attention a little bit to the people who love you.
Yes. And by the way, I love that you brought this up because it really is so important. And people come to me as their mentor when they're going through these decisions, which I really love because I'm able to help them, you know, because I'm working with marriage. So I definitely know what it is that is and isn't red flags and what to look out for. So I really appreciate that. When I was going out, Aliza, my friend, and I made this pact that we were going to tell each other if something was going to be wrong. And like, we were going to call on each other to tell like, hey, I'm not really sure what to do about this. What do you think? And it was so helpful because it was a peer that knew us when we were at our best, you know, like we met in camp, we were really good friends. We knew what we really wanted and we kept in touch through all those years. So when I would call her and say, listen, this guy in college, I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. He talked to me this way or that way. Should I even consider? She was able to like be so clear and, you know, clear cut, no nonsense. Cause she has that ability to really like keep a cool vision of view of what's going on. And I was able to do that for her. So I definitely agree with what you're saying. I also agree that you should have older people who really love you because your parents are not going to try to ruin your life. Even if they're not the nicest people and you haven't had the best relationship with them and you think like, oh, I know better, whatever. It's good for you to say, but this is really what I want, but this whatever. But like at the end of the day, if they tell you something is a real issue, you should take it seriously. You don't have to go crazy and like cancel everything, but take it seriously enough that like you're willing to go to a third party to ask what, you know, like I went to a Rebbetzin who didn't even know me from a hole in the wall, but just being able to go to someone who was completely objective and wasn't family, I was able to really speak the full story without having to like think of what they're going to say afterwards, which is, by the way, brings us to another topic we could talk about forever. Is like, be really careful about what you say and complain about to your family before you get married, because it's going to stay. It's going to stick. Like, remember before you got married, you complained about this? You see, I told you. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Look what Ozzy says. We're a dream team.
Yay, hey, Ozzy.
I'm having such a good time talking to you. Anything else before we close up? Any like closing words, inspiration, motivation, pickups, pick me ups.
Okay. So my, I guess, motivation to all you older singles or divorced or widowed singles is that you are exactly the right height and exactly the right weight and in the exact right location, and you have the exact right qualities and you have the exact right look to find your Bechert. And he or she is out there. And I believe that for you until you can believe that for yourself.
Yes, I love that. That is so beautiful. I love that. Ah, any last questions? Yes, Ozzy says yes. This is so powerful because it really is. It's so important to just know that you are perfectly imperfect the way you are. You know, there's nothing you need to change. There's nothing you need to do. You just have to keep going on this journey. And sometimes the journey feels a little muddy and rusty, but you're on the right track and just keep going and don't give up. Because if you park the car, that's the real failure. It's like, okay, there's no hope. Bye. But like, there is always hope. You just keep going and you learn something and then you learn more. Yes. Love yourself as you are.
Yeah, I would say treat dating as self-care, right?
Yes. So
think of how can we make dating feel like self-care. So one idea is to take 2 minutes and see if you can write 20 positive things about yourself in 2 minutes. What are 20 things you love about yourself? I'm going to say this is a challenge because for most people, maybe especially for women, it's very hard if you've ever tried it. I think I did it. It took longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah, if I tell all of my married clients to do this, they would have a hard time because we're not used to taking the time to really see what we love about ourselves. But like we said in the beginning, at the beginning of this live, is think of the other person and what they're looking for, you know. Sometimes when you think about it from the other perspective, they're going to have to see all those things that you love about yourself. And if you can't see them, they're not going to be able to see them.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to really see yourself. Yeah.
When you're coming to your date, right? And you're coming with all that confidence because you just wrote out your 20 things that you love about yourself, right? You're coming with all that confidence. They feel it, right? They feel that you have like this whole energy of like, I'm amazing. Like, of course you want me, right? Like, and if someone ever rejects me, I'm like, why would they reject me? I'm amazing, right?
Right. It must be that they don't, you know, they're just not for me, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know what's wrong with you that you couldn't see how amazing I am. If you could have that confidence and that resiliency, right? That resilience just to feel like, yeah, like, I have so much to offer. I have so much to bring to the table. Like, of course, anyone would just be like, so happy to have me in their life, right?
I love that.
Make dating self-care. Make it about like you and your growth and your journey and how like you're learning about yourself and you're improving yourself and you're becoming your best self on the journey. So instead of you were saying before about people feeling drained the longer that they date, it's like, how am I getting better the longer I date? How am I becoming a better person? Like, I'm even better than I was 2 years ago. Like, maybe that guy who dated me 2 years ago, like, wants me now because, like, I'm even better now, right?
So, and don't look for that, by the way, because he might not be the right one anyway. Don't run after people.
I'm not saying to run after people, but sometimes, sometimes you look at your past people that you've dated and you can actually go back and be like, oh, we kind of ended things on a maybe. Like, maybe it's worth revisiting that, you know? So it is possible to, there's a dating coach named Aliza Ben Shalom, and she calls it the mystery in your history. Like, she said there's a 35% chance that someone you dated in your past ends up being your Bechert. So, yeah. So if people change and they evolve and they become even better, so think of it that way instead of like, oh, I'm less marketable now that I'm older. And, you know, no, like
I'm better. Wiser, I'm more
emotionally evolved. I've been on this journey with myself longer. Right. I'm more sure about what I want.
And I just want to say, I feel like people who go through coaching are a lot more self you know, like, you know, what you were saying, really just like emotionally involved and more confident, just, you know, they're more fully there.
Oh yeah. I mean, coaching has done so much for me and I'm just so grateful for all the lessons that I've learned along the way.
I love Nicole. She's feeling just listening to this. I love you. Okay. So thank you so much to Sasha. I love your words. We can continue talking forever and you guys can all send us questions or, you know, make an appointment to talk to her. Here, I'll put your link again. It's happilyevenafter.co. And if you go to book, you can book a session that's free and just like discovery call, which by the way, about the word discovery, I really like that you were using that word when dating, like just go out there and discover and play and find what's going on, you know, just to like find new things. It comes from a different place in your brain. Yeah,
it's curiosity. You're coming from a spirit of curiosity and openness. Yeah.
And it's different than when you come from a place of like, I have to make this work already, you know?
Urgency comes from a place of lack.
Yeah. Yes. So I love that. That was a really good point. And for all of you who are married and want to come to my Holiday Prep Your Marriage course, it's a series that I do before every holiday. And Hanukkah is coming. So we are going to be doing a Holiday Prep Your Marriage Hanukkah tomorrow at 9 p.m. So 9 p.m. Israel. So 1 p.m. East, 2 p.m. Eastern. So go to connectedforreal.com. Make sure that you sign up because that way you can get the link. And I will see you tomorrow if you sign up. Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you for all your comments. It's been a real pleasure.